Morning and welcome to One-on-One with the Professionals. I'm Tom Davis, along with Kurt Mead today from Wellspring Clinic. How you doing, Kurt?
Good. Tom, how you getting along?
9:30 right on the nose. I see the sun trying to peek out. I think we're going to do okay today, but we're going to learn a little bit, aren't we, as we usually do. We got our holiday to-do list.
Do you have your holiday to-do list filled out yet, Tom?
It never ends.
even past Christmas, right?
Well, you know, the thing is with the old holiday to-do list is that it never ends, for the simple fact there's always something that's needed. There's always something that needs to be added, amended, or made better.
That's right. And, you know, we're looking for that magical moment.
The magical moment.
That's what they talk about during the holidays. Finding the magic of Christmas, the magic of the holidays.
Well, I guess. I mean, it's pretty magical to me. I mean, when you think about how it all comes together and then, of course, what we're celebrating. And now you say the holidays. I guess Thanksgiving
right.
Would be one, and Christmas would be the other, and New Year. So I guess that would be plural. But on my mind, Thanksgiving kind of comes in first, and you're really thankful. And then, of course, the magic really hits you with Christmas and just with all that means. And then, of course, with New Year's, a sense of renew.
Well, that magical moment, it's you know, we're always chasing that it's just can't quite be caught. But I was kind of wondering, Tom, if we would kind of come up with this phrase here, I believe it'd probably capture people's attention.
What's that?
Well, do you have anything better to do than make money?
Yeah.
Would that capture your attention?
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of things that are a little bit more important than money. I mean, money's nice. It helps get you by in this world, but there are probably a lot more things a bit more important.
Well, you know, if someone was talking, maybe a couple were talking at Mazzio's in one of the restaurants, and we overheard that, that'd probably engage us in the conversation. You know, don't you have anything more to do than make money? You think, well, what's that guy do? I mean, how does he make this money?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, like you said, money is a tool, I guess. But, you know, if you can make things happen, I guess, for your family or yourself and maybe even strangers, that's a good thing to make.
That's a good thing to make. And think about it, Tom, we have a balance there. We want to be productive, but then again, we also want to have convenient comfort, and sometimes money does that. It provides that comfort.
Oh, yeah, there you go again. You got to pull out that wallet to be comfortable.
Pull out the wallet, and also we want that productive worth. You know, we want to be paid for our talents, but we just don't want to, most of us just don't want to sit around doing nothing.
That is true. We do want to stay active.
Stay active. And so we have our holiday to-do list, but now, as we approach Christmas, getting past the Thanksgiving, we come up with our special expectation of the wish list. What's on my wish list?
I tell you, sometimes I just wish folks could be a little happier.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, probably toward the top of our list would be peace and goodwill toward men.
Yes, and some people say that that's utopian and you're never going to get it, but you never know till you try.
Well, that's it. That's it. And so, to have that season of hope and joy, we need to reach out to others.
We do. We absolutely do. I mean, how many people are just happy all by themselves? Maybe Hermit the Crab, but that might be it.
And you know, of course, Tom, there are people who it wasn't by choice that they're alone. Their spouse passed on, their children moved away, and you know, maybe they're not the crab. Maybe they were the life of the party. Maybe they're the ones who were always putting on the meal, but now they're kind of alone.
We actually had this discussion with our family over the weekend. The little one, the 12-year-old, she says, well, why would businesses like a restaurant or something like that be open on Thanksgiving or Christmas Day? And I swiftly turned around and I said, because some people don't have anywhere to go or any persons around them, and it would be a shame for them to be alone. And maybe the people who work there, some by choice, some not by choice, but a lot of them, and I found, would choose to work on a holiday for the same reason, so they could be around other people. And maybe, just maybe, they could feel a sense of that togetherness in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I tell you what, I went to Golden Corral several Thanksgivings in a row. I had a lady, she was by herself. Well, she's with her husband, then her husband passed on. Mm-hmm. But we would go to that Golden Corral just to kind of get her out and get her amongst people. Mm-hmm. And every year we went, the line grew.
Oh, I bet it did, exponentially.
One lady said she just didn't want to put forth all the effort. She said most of the family's gone, and it's just so much easier. You don't have to clean up the mess afterwards, and it's just, you know, pay your 10, 15, 20 bucks, and you're out of there.
Yeah. No fuss, no muss. But wait, there's more.
That's it. So, you know, we have this peace and goodwill toward others, and we want to have a season of joy and hope. And to get all that, we have to throw in the God factor. Factor in God.
Why not?
You know, he's the one that brought all this forward, but what happens is we have a vague, generic definition of who God is. We think, we know God is with us. We know, you know, he's in our churches. He's in our community, and some of us deny it, some of us don't. But, you know, we factor in God to our own best abilities.
Yeah, even though no one can really define accurately God because it's beyond our comprehension, We try.
So that's where we have to reconcile flesh and blood, Tom. Mm-hmm. We have to bring in a person or a group of people who really understand how to define him.
Wow.
And that is the reason for the season. You know, mm-hmm. on these sacks, you get holiday sacks, a lot of them will say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, mm-hmm. How come he's the reason for the season?
Well, this is when we celebrate his birth. Whether it's the exact date or not remains to be seen, but this is when we celebrate it.
That's it.
Yeah.
But we always have these generic, vague answers, and it's a fantasy of hope. Because we can't really quite pinpoint it, and a lot of times we don't really care to pinpoint it because he might just get a little bit too close to us.
Well, gee.
So, you know, we have to decide, do I want to get totally engaged in the conversation? If someone was throwing around conversation about money or about relationships or about social media or about, big screen football or whatever, we might be a little more engaged. But once we start throwing around conversations about God, we kind of have to make that decision. Do I want to get involved in this conversation?
Some people would love to listen. Other people sometimes feel the need to share. And then you got those certain few kind of think they might know it all, but nobody knows it all.
And then you got the fourth kind who they can't
run.
Wait. Yeah, they run. They run. So what we have to identify with, Tom, is a flesh and blood pattern. Someone who's actually human, they're flesh and blood, but they know God. They don't know about God. They know God. Mm-hmm. Hmm. What am I called to do? Who am I? And they have resolved, they've solved that question in their heart, but you can't find those people out there much.
No, you can't.
It's always vague. You know, there's all kinds of vague answers about, well, you know, we're all going to heaven and we're all doing this. And no, let me think of another one. The second coming. Well, we're all coming back with Jesus at the second coming, and there's all these vague answers, but you never really can get a true definition because people don't know.
They don't. They absolutely don't know. That calls for a little word called faith, doesn't it?
Faith, and also you having a teachable spirit.
You got to have that. That really makes your faith do a lot of things.
And a humble spirit.
That even it grows it even better.
And sometimes, most of the times, our tongue is attached to our pride.
Yeah, mostly.
And it doesn't take long to find out where that tongue is attached to. You know, you're talking to someone and you want to talk about the God factor, but you can tell pride gets in the way.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious when it does.
You know, we're called to do these things. God has called us to do these things, but we would really, all in all, we'd really spend a little more time on social media fantasy football, gossip. I mean, there's so many better things to do. I mean, yeah, I'll talk about God in church, and I'll tell you what I think and all the things my minister said, but, you know, I'm not going to spend my whole day doing it.
Why not?
Because
it gets in the way.
It gets in the way because I don't understand this unrealistic heaven you're talking about.
Well, it does beg a lot of questions. And I think if you have an inquiring mind, instead of getting in on the gossip, you might want to ask a few more questions in this realm.
Ask if you, and find someone who knows. And it's kind of hard to find those type of people out there. Mm-hmm. They give you the vague fantasy, rapture, fantasy, heaven, but they can't really tell you how and when and why.
Well, do we know how, when, and why everything's going to take place?
We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning.
That's good, because I feel the need to be enlightened.
All right.
Now, I know everybody out there feels the need, too.
Or they're turning the radio off and saying, this guy doesn't know anything.
Hang in there, folks. It gets great here in a few seconds.
You have a program on the Monday I'm not on. I believe City Matters comes on. Mm-hmm. And what's the thrust behind City Matters?
Well, they let you know what is on the, you know, slate, on the agenda for what's going to be discussed and what's going to be voted upon by those who represent the fine citizens of Bartlesville. And they'll also try to give you some direction as to when certain projects are going to be completed, when your road's going to be done, when your road's going to be worked on, and if you have to turn your water off for a little bit or not. And they just try to keep you in the loop as to what to expect here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, what would happen if some of these important people would come on and just say, you know, folks, we're taking care of it. You're paying your taxes. You voted us in. You voted for this project. And, you know, don't worry about it. How'd that go over?
Not very well. They kind of pride themselves on being accountable. And this is the medium that they use to kind of get that accountability out there. So if they did that, wow, that would be, I don't think it'd wear too well.
So you're saying they're accountable, but those who know God, they're not accountable. They can really kind of bend the rules a little bit and just kind of shift the commandments and this and that, and they're not really held accountable because who's listening?
God is.
So you have to find that one man, that one woman, or just a I tell you, Tom, it's a very elite group. It's a rare breed.
Yeah, it is.
To find that type of person who knows God. And I tell you, one person who knew God, still knows him, he's still alive. I mean, in the spiritual realm, is Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham knew God.
He walked with God.
He's called a friend of God.
Yes.
So to him, city matters. And the reason I say that, because in the Bible, it didn't say anything about looking for heaven. He was looking for a city.
Yes.
City mattered to him.
Yes.
And I think to myself, if I'm not careless, then I will kind of retrace his steps and find out about this city a little bit. You know, if I could care less about Bartlesville when City Matters comes on, I'd just flip it off. I don't want to know about Bartlesville. I don't have any need. They're taking, roads are paved, and I'm satisfied. And so, you know, all's good. But we do that with God. We don't want to know about that city.
I think some of us do. I mean, we'd like to know how to get there. We got a pretty good idea how to get there. But like you say, some folks will take that accountability and maybe water it down a little bit when it comes to your path to the city, as Abraham called it.
Well, I'll give you a good example. I was going to meet a fellow in Broken Arrow, and he said, well, follow me, and I'll just direct you to my house. And I didn't know that once you got on the turnpike, he had Pike Pass. I didn't know that they wouldn't take anything over a $5 bill.
Woo!
And all I had was a 20.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made it inconvenient.
Little, lot.
So I had to call the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority and tell them, hey, I crashed the gate doing 98.
Whew.
And they said, well, we'll take care of it. You know, we'll be here for that amount. But it was very inconvenient. But I thought it was just going to be a nice little shot to heaven, a nice little shot to Broken Arrow. But once it got, you know, pretty close to where I was at. I had to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that city, God has the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
God has judgments.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to hear about these judgments. We don't want to hear about the great white throne judgment where everyone has to appear before God and give an account. The rest of the dead had to stand and give an account to God. Do we want to hear that?
Well, some folks don't. They like, can we bypass that little bit? No, it kind of happened. So, yeah, kind of got to do it.
You get, are you emotionally attached to people, Tom?
Yeah, family.
Well, it says that after that great white throne judgment, then God will wipe away their tears. You suppose that it was an emotional scene?
I can only imagine that it's more emotional than we can even comprehend.
Because of the nature of God. God is a God, he's a God of love, but he's also, and probably more so, a God of holiness. So if mm-hmm. I say God loves me, but I'm not living a holy life, then what good is it?
Well, you're living a charade, my friend.
And I tell you what, Tom, that's what we focus on there at Wellspring, how to find that place of holiness.
And how do we find that place of holiness? Like you said something about a humble spirit and a rested spirit and be still.
You're on the right track. And the main indicator is the poor in spirit, recognizing they can't instill holiness in themselves.
No.
And God says, Jesus tells us in Luke, he said, little flock, don't you know it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? But before he said that, he said, you got to forsake everything in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You mean social media? It can't become...
I have to leave my phone behind? Yeah, you do. It's not going with you.
How many hours do we spend, Tom, looking at a screen?
More than I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. It says in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That didn't mean they don't love God, but they look at the screen more than they...
They like their toys more.
Yeah. So what are we going to do about that?
Well, it's time to redirect.
Time to redirect. And what we have is the Bible gives us a judicial system.
A judicial system.
Yeah. There's justice and judgment, and there's mercy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. And we're told that the rest of the dead... And that tells me there, Tom, if we're told in Revelation 25, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, we think, well, what 1,000 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's from when
to when?
That's mm-hmm. from after the tribulation period. And mm-hmm. I quizzed you once before about the tribulation period, yeah. 7-year mm-hmm. period. It's going to be a terrible time on earth.
There are people who claim from time to time, because our lives get challenged a bit, this must be the tribulation.
This must be.
Well, it might be a rough patch in the road, but the tribulation is probably that times 10.
Well, let's go back to
Abraham. I'm just guessing.
You're right. Let's go back to Abraham again.
Okay.
Before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, God shared with Abraham what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find that rare breed of people who are actually tapped into God's holiness, mm-hmm. actually know how to get there, actually they're being still and knowing God's God, maybe they may have an indicator of what's going to take place.
Hmm.
But, you know, we're pretty well wrapped up in our own life, and we don't want to make those changes of being still and knowing God's God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have all these nice mottos, one nation under God, God bless America, in God we trust, but it lacks what?
It lacks...
The holiness differential.
Holiness differential, yeah.
The holiness differential. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about the glowing concepts of God, we have suitable worships in our service, but we conveniently dismiss what?
Lost here.
Holy judgments.
Holy judgments, there you go.
Yep. So why would God say in Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection? The first people raised from the dead, mm-hmm. he says they're blessed and holy.
Yeah, there you go. But in the first resurrection, such as there's talk of a second death, the great white throne of judgment.
So what's happening there, Tom, is that that first resurrection, those people are judged holy. How come they were judged holy?
Because they followed in God's way.
Because they laid down their life.
They did.
They had their.
Yep. That part is a little bit tough to deal with in the end, but that's the way it went, according to Revelations, and they were blessed and holy, so they didn't have to suffer what is called the second death.
And what happens, Tom, is we have these. You might say casual. I've talked to them many times. Or casual observers of truth, and they hide behind the judgment seat of Christ. And they'll say, "Well, we're all going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's in heaven. And I have nothing to worry about if I lose my crowns. If I lose, you know, the main thing is I'll just get to heaven." But they have no idea how the judgment seat is constructed.
No, they don't.
And God gives us a diagram. He tells Solomon, he says, "Solomon, here's how I want the judgment seat, and I want a footstool fastened to my judgment seat."
Mm-hmm.
So there's two verses, Tom, in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool." So that tells me most of the judgment is going to take place on earth, because we're so consumed with who the pleasure of this world, who what we want to do. But when it comes to the God factor, we don't want to know too much about city matters. We don't want to have to deal with all these things which may cause us to change. It's a lot easier just to gossip on the phone and tell people, "Well, you know, I'm just telling you this because I want you to pray about it." I mean, I hear all kinds of cliches about why I don't have to be holy, hiding behind a form of godliness. And it's not going to work.
You have to be holy.
And the only way to do that is lay aside everything in this life. And the neat thing about it, Tom, God's not trying to deny us these things. He said, "Oh, little flock, don't you know it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom?" Mm-hmm. You basically know what I do for a living. You know we have the clinic. We know we do the Sunrise Reporter. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go out searching for these things.
No, it kind of came to you, if I recall correctly.
They found me.
Boy, did they.
So what happens, Tom, is that's when you're really getting to the element of faith. We think we have to work so hard and supply for our family and the things we're taught to do from a youth. But God says, "No, if you follow me in my way of holiness, I'll take care of all these things." But we get so bound with this world, with the cares of this world. And who do you think runs this world, Tom?
Well, we have the gods of this world.
We have the god of this world. Uh-huh. And who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan.
You betcha.
So if he's the prince of the power of the air, that tells me that he controls the airwaves, things that we think we need to be doing. And God says, "You know, I don't know. You know, if you need to do it to get the word out, yes. But if you're doing it just to consume time, no."
No.
And you know what would happen, Tom? Say old Satan would make everything beautiful. You had no filth on the internet, no filth on TV, at the movies. I mean, he just really candy coat everything, where just really, really, and you knew you didn't have to worry about what your children were going to watch. You think that would be suitable to God?
No, because it could be clean, but that could also be the perfect cloaking device to what the end goal would be.
That's the key right there. He's a consumer of what his main purpose is to consume our time and get our mind off God, because he didn't want us to think about city matters.
No.
He didn't want us to tap into the city that Abraham knew existed.
Mm-mm. The more he can get you away from that, the greater control he has over you.
That's it. And we talked before last about the Swedes, how they're willing to get marked so they can have transactions. Debit.
Oh, you have the little chip in their wrist, yeah.
The little chip in their wrist. Yeah. And we're told that is going to be, that comes prior to the first resurrection of the dead. And so what happens, that if I miss what Jesus calls, that you may be found worthy to escape all these things, if I miss that, then I know if I know my Bible not to take that chip.
Nope, don't do it.
It might cost me my life, mm-hmm. but God promises, blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection.
You bet.
But what happens in our vague and our generic definitions of worthy to escape, we think, well, that's talking about the whole church, they're going. And I think to myself, you guys are taking an awful chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying I'm going to court and the judge is going to pardon me and I'm not that innocent. Jesus, he's innocent for me. Well, he is, but like you said earlier about accountability in the city, there has to be an accountability. Mm-hmm. That proves if I'm holy or not. And that proves if I've been spending time with my relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. be still and know that I'm God. And I will build holiness in you. But that is something that is part of our will, Tom. We have to make that a part. Abraham did that. Abraham, he overlooked Sodom, and he knew what his nephew was involved in. He was involved in the ways of Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was journaling the Bible at the clinic the other day, and they said, you know, Lot, he was saved. You know, it's really emotional. Lot, I said, yes, the reason Lot was saved because of Abraham's faith. But you notice Lot's wife wasn't saved. It didn't go that next generation.
Well, no. I mean, first of all, she violated the command. And the command was don't look back. Look back, pillar of salt. Sorry.
And you know, Tom, she probably wouldn't have violated it if Lot didn't drag her into Sodom. So mm-hmm. we can't blame her, his wife. You know, he was accountable. Yeah. He took her there.
Indeed.
So we have to recognize that there's promises of God that he wants to give us the kingdom, but we are held accountable for our actions. You know, the little what we call white lies, the little times we take things and we think, well, they don't need it. And it could be a number of things, but it all revolves around holiness. If God sees my life is building holiness, then God will continue to do great things. But if I get off that track and off that straight, narrow path, then I'm going to face some correction. I believe we have some sponsors.
Yeah, we do. K&M Lawn Care. Let's hear from them for a brief bit.
K&M Lawn Care is more than just your typical lawn care service. They trim hedges, clean out fence lines, haul off any unwanted items, even appliances, clean out your garage and house of unwanted items, and dispose of them for you. If your gutters need cleaning, leaves, dirt, and debris, you guess it, K&M will do that too. Call the pros at K&M at 918-534-8045 or 918-766-1191, and they'll give you a free estimate. K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Care, 605 North Osage Avenue in Dewey. Proud sponsor of Wellspring Life Clinic.
And we're back.
And also, Tom, we have Aaron's Automotive, Aaron's Performance and Auto Repair, just a fine auto tech. His number is 918-440-9754, 440-9754, right across from AFC Glass on Highway 75 North going to Dewey. And I can't build him up enough. He's just a fine man of God, and he's a fine auto tech man.
There you go. I like that. It is 9:59 here. Let's talk about where we can find Wellspring in case anybody would like to venture further on their journey.
Okay. We're at 132 Southeast Chalwell, 132 Southeast Chalwell next to RX Express. I can be reached on my cell at 918-397-0284, 918-397-0284, and I'd be glad to take any and all calls.
And very well. I mean, I tell you what, that phone hardly ever leaves you because, you know, for folks that kind of, they see that as kind of a lifeline from time to time. And yeah, you take your responsibility so well. And you want to talk about accountable. This man is very, very accountable. So if you don't get him the first time, he'll get the message. And by golly, you'll be back in contact. That's something that a lot of people don't expect anymore.
No.
They drop a call, and they might not get a call back.
I know it. So I just want to thank you, Tom, for having me on the air once again. And we were talking about the judgment, but also the mercy of God.
All righty. And if you want more, check it out with Kurt Mead at Wellspring. We've got news coming up.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.